Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, it's Joe, and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. Today we'll be test talking with Aaron Kinsbruner, Director and Mobile Technical Evangelist for Perfecto, about mobile test and coverage optimization. Coming up with a solid plan for the right test coverage mix for your mobile app testing efforts can sometimes feel like a black art. And like all black arts, you usually pay the price with bad results. In today's show, Aaron will share with us some of his best tips to ensure you're creating mobile testing automation awesomeness every time for your mobile testing efforts. Check it out. Test Talks is sponsored by the fantastic folks at Sauce Labs, the cloud-based automated testing platform that eliminates the need to maintain your own Selenium grid and test infrastructure. Try it for free today. Visit testtalks.com and click on the Sign Up Now link under the homepage sponsor section. Hey, Aaron. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hey. Hey, Joe. Thanks for inviting me, and thrilled to be on your show. Hopefully to be an insightful content for your audience.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you on the show. Before we get into it, though, I guess, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Absolutely. I am in this testing space, mostly in the mobile, for the last 17 years. Along the way, I've been CTO for mobile testing and director of QA. I worked at Sun Microsystems back in the J2ME area, moved to the Symbian and other dying platforms in the past. And for the last couple of years, I am the mobile technique evangelist with Perfecto, working on thought leadership material, investigating and putting some hands-on experience on mobile testing, both from functional testing perspective as well as non-functional testing, performance, user condition testing, and so forth. Hopefully I can share some of the insights. This is a crazy and very dynamic and fragmented market in which most of the organizations today are finding it very hard to operate in.
And actually, that's what I like to focus in on with the first few questions is there's so many devices that we need to run our applications against, that we need to test against, so many OSs, so many iPhones, so many different mobile devices, different patches. How does a company nowadays put together a comprehensive test strategy for delivering awesome experiences for their applications on any device? I know back in the day it used to be just a website, but now there's so many other variables we need to think about. Do you have any high-level best practices you think everyone should have as part of their test strategy?
Yeah, so I think that this is the most commonly asked question, and it's the biggest challenge in today's market to cope with the variety of devices, operating systems, different parameters, screen sizes, different network conditions as well, which are also part of this coverage mix. Over the last couple of months, I investigated a lot of time and energy in developing a strategy around how to select in a wise way your devices and operating systems for your test strategy. I am publishing on a quarterly basis an index report, but also quite recently I launched an online responsive tool, which also gives this guidance. And basically how it works, it collects a lot of data based on usage from the market, usage coming from different web traffic transactions and everything, and gives scores to the device and OS parameters, and based on that provides the recommendation. So for example, I can give you an example. I know from the market research that Android 5.1.1 Lollipop on a Samsung S6 has a huge long history of issues. Some of the issues are around battery drain. The other ones are around reading and writing to the SD card and everything. So this will definitely be one of the combinations which I would recommend to test on. And this is all captured in my tools and my overall methodology. But to your question as well, I would like to add that organizations today who are struggling simply also take into account analytics. Okay, they either do it through a real user monitoring solution. They simply embed an SDK into the mobile application, which reports back to a dashboard which they are analyzing on an ongoing basis, and you know, see which devices, which operating systems are hitting their websites or servers on a daily basis, or from which geographies. And based on this data, they are making decisions. So that's another way of looking into the coverage conversation.
Awesome. And then the tool you mentioned, I believe it's called Digital Test Coverage Optimizer. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. So this is this tool is it's an online, it's a free tool, and it's responsive. So you don't need to actually have a desktop. You can use it from your tablet or your smartphone. You come with your information from home, if you like. You know which devices, which geographies you would like to support. Let's say you want to support just the U.S. and Canada. You'll plug these countries in this tool. You'll select a form factor, whether it's a device or a tablet, a smartphone or a tablet, which operating systems you would like to support, and it will recommend you the top 30 devices based on priority. Okay, you don't need to take all the 30 if you like, but you can definitely get a prioritized list based on different priorities around quality, around usage, market adoption, and so forth, and simply use this as a baseline. You don't need to take everything as is. You can get it to your counterparts and do a conversation within your organization, whether with your marketing or product management, and make the decision based on this tool.
Awesome. Once again, I believe it is a free tool. And yep. You know, I believe as a four steps, you just, like you said, you just enter in your information. It tells you what the most common configurations are that you should be running against. I guess my question is, you did bring up something earlier about like a metric where you knew that Lollipop has a certain amount of issues, and that's yeah. why it would be one of the ones it probably would have a higher percentage of, it'd get a higher score, so it would bubble it up to the top of which ones you should run against.
Yeah.
Along metrics, though, do you actually tell people, like before they even get to testing, I know you have a large user base, you must have a lot of metrics. Tell them, hey, Lollipop, here are the five top issues that you should be developing for, to be a little proactive so you don't have to wait to get to testing to find out, hey, the stranger battery, you may want to use a different mechanism for taking care of that.
Well, I was thinking about this direction, Joe, and I think that you can find so many examples out there. You can find iOS 8.4.1 on an iPad 2. They also had some issues with Wi-Fi connectivity. Okay, there are many combinations. These are also embedded in the tool. But what I actually do, and also as a practitioner myself with a lot of experience on testing, I try, because each application will have its unique use cases and will operate in a different condition. So maybe, you know, just by knowing that Android 5.1.1 Lollipop on a Samsung S6 is a problematic, might not be enough as a threshold for you to test on, because you have your own analytics and you see that 80% of your audience is coming from iOS and the top device. And I can give just a specific example. One of our clients coming from Brazil, okay? He doesn't care much about iOS. He has 90% of his usage coming just from Android. So if I will give him an iOS example, it means nothing. So what I'm recommending is, first, I would actually use tools like analytics. I would use your overall App Store ratings, App Store reviews, and try to find, you know, based on analytics and usage traffic coming from your end users, which is the most relevant combination for your application. Because maybe this buggy combination is not even showing up in your analytics. So it's going to be like a false direction for you to take.
Awesome. Yeah. And the tool, once again, it shows the top 10 devices. And I think it also gives top 25 and top 32.
Yeah.
So it really breaks it down really nicely. But I guess, like I said, you could probably reverse engineer it where you go to this tool, you find out the top tools that you recommend testing against, and then you make sure your developers maybe focus on those particular ones in-house if possible. But I guess at that point, what do you recommend? Should people test against a real device or an emulator? Do you think it matters? Or is that one of the values of using a service like Perfecto Mobile, where you're actually testing on an actual physical device?
So it's a great question, Joe. From a testing perspective, I think at the end of the day, at least my answer, and by the way, if you go to Gartner and Forrester and other external vendors, they will say the same. Perfecto, by the way, supported emulators and simulators up until quite recently. Based on conversation we had with developers and testers, we found out that overall time used to test on emulators was very minimal, okay, compared to testing on real devices. And the reason is very clear. You know, the end users today are not using or exploring your application through emulators. They're using real devices in real network conditions with different background applications and competing processes running, like camera, GPS, and so forth. So it made no sense to increase and invest. There are tools out there. You know, there is Genymotion, is a large vendor today in the market who is providing access to simulators and emulators. And developers can also get these emulators through their IDEs today from Xcode or from the Android Studio. But at the end of the day, if you want to test for real user experience against real conditions on the right flavors of the operating systems which Samsung, Apple, and others are deploying on their devices, you really need to have the real devices based on the go-no-go decision which you would like to take. And I can give you another specific example. You know, all of the carriers, you know, in the US, in the world, are not just taking the Android out of the box. They are flavoring it to their needs. Okay, so Verizon, Samsung S6 for Marshmallow, which was just deployed, will be probably different than what you will get from Android Studio on an emulator. It will be a different version. So you want to test on what your end users are eventually going to use and experience.
No, that's a great point. I think a lot of people get so geo-focused to where they're actually located, and they forget about other areas and other countries and other conditions. So when someone's testing for, like you said, real network conditions, is that emulator? Or if they used a service like Sauce Labs or yourself, where they're running on a real device, do they get to choose where that device is located? Does that matter?
Yeah, it matters a lot. Whether you're using Sauce or Perfecto, you're using real devices in data centers in different locations in the world. For Perfecto, we have 13 different data centers from Brazil to Mexico to the US, East Coast, West Coast, Germany, UK, India and China, Australia. So first of all, in all of these geographies, the end users have different usage scenarios and they are using different network carriers. You know, you have different carrier, different operators operating in the UK and in the US, different LG connection and a different 4G connection. So it does matter where your users are operating and which devices are being there, because as I mentioned, I can assure you that the Vodafone UK flavor of Android 6 or 5 is a bit different than what you will see from Verizon here in the US. They're tweaking it, and once they're tweaking it, it's not exactly the same.
Another thing I like to bring up, I think a lot of times people get so focused on automated testing, but a lot of these services like yourself, I believe you also allow people to manually test on these devices. It doesn't necessarily have to be an automated test. Is that correct?
Yeah. You can do both manual testing and automation. And unfortunately, one of the biggest challenges in today's mobile or digital space, if you like, is the conversion of manual tests to automation. Perfecto provides both manual and automation tests. You start with manual testing. If you start it correctly and you design the test correctly, you can probably start, you know, thinking of moving them to automation, either through behavior-driven development, data-driven, keyword-driven. There are many practices. But at the end of the day, I think that there is a huge problem in today's test designs, okay? How you design your mobile application test plan, and this is a key to sustaining the test automation going forward. And we see many organizations today starting with mobile testing, manual. Okay, they say, okay, it's working. Then they start doing it automatically. And after the first cycle or after the first version, they find out, okay, it stopped working for them. Why? Bad practices, okay? They are developing the test in a disconnected manner. And let me just explain what I mean. You have today three different layers in the mobile testing space. You have the application under test, you have the test itself, and you have the mobile device. Each mobile device will have a different supported capabilities. And if you have the application where you want to test a specific feature, and you have two different devices, one does support the feature and one doesn't, let's take as an example iPhone 6S. iPhone 6S today comes with Force Touch. It's a unique gesture. But if you are Facebook and you want to test this specific capability of writing a chat, writing a post from Facebook without logging into the Facebook, just doing it from the home screen, you can do it with Force Touch, right? But this is an additional capability of the right post from the UI of the Facebook. So this is where, this is one example of where the application or the manual test or the automation test is going to be broken, because you have different device capabilities where the test simply reaches a dead end. It cannot grow to an enhanced capability. And this is, you can take this example to many, many other areas in mobile testing. So to make it work for you, both from a manual testing perspective, but specifically from automation testing perspective, you need to design from the beginning the test, the application, and the device capabilities as one. Make sure that you are always tying the dots between these three layers.
No, that is a great point with mobile testing and also mobile automation, and with normal automation, is that you should design for testability up front. Because once you've delivered an application and it's already developed, it's so hard to bake that back in at that point. So how does someone do that, though? So there's, like you said, there's so many different devices. How do you know which device handles what particular activity? I mean, is it just do you recommend they have separate tests for separate device groups, or one test that would handle somehow with some sort of logic all these different types of actions that could be performed regardless of what version they're running against?
Exactly, Joe. Exactly. And I think that you just nailed the point. But to make it work, you need to have an ongoing conversation or discussion, handshake between the testers and the developers. What do I mean? The developers today will definitely put all the used capabilities of the application in. If you're talking about an Android application, there is the manifest file, which is inside the application itself. If it's an iOS application, it's going to be in the plist, in the info.plist application file. So the developers knows what, when he's developing the application, it's actually mandated to provide which permission does the application requires, which features such as Touch ID, Force Touch, and some other gestures are required or supported by the application. So the information exists today. What is left for the tester to do, test automation developer to do, is to simply do a scanning, a dynamic scanning of these two files, and try to map the test cases based on the capabilities, as you mentioned, by groups. You'll have different groups for different tests. And by the way, it ties back to the coverage conversation which we had in the beginning. If you have the index, it gives you the top 10, top 15, or top 25 devices. If you are grouping these devices also by features and capabilities, and send the tests accordingly to these devices by capability, you're actually tying all the dots. You have a very good coverage based on capabilities, on supported features, and on the right devices and operating systems.
Awesome. So I also noticed you recently gave a presentation on mobile test automation and the need for continuous quality. And I think this might touch on it. One of your first points I think you talked about was why velocity requires a properly maintained function library. Is this how this ties in, where if you have a properly maintained function library that'll help you to get this, to be able to get these different test coverages that you need and not be so tied into a specific implementation?
Exactly. And as the mobile application or the mobile operating system changes, you want to have a disconnected, I would say, function library than the test logic itself. So you would like to maintain, I would actually use a different term of object repository in that case. So objects tend to change. When you have a new application, you have a new screen, new feature, your object elements of the application might change. You would like to maintain a disconnected or separate object repository from the tests, and the objects are also tied to methods or function libraries. So you can reuse them in different scripts, in different test scenarios, in a way that something changes, you just change something in the function library or in the object repository, and the tests continue to run. Okay, so let's assume you have 100 test cases which leverages one function library, or one object repository, let's say just to do the login feature. Okay, in that case, if you change just the method or the login object identifier and so forth, you have all the inherited test scripts already getting this adjustment automatically, and that allows you to continuously support your test suite, run it continuously as part of continuous integration, and this is a key for velocity.
Awesome. I definitely agree. I think there's another point you bring up is, it's such a fast-paced environment. There's things changing all the time. How does someone keep tabs on what's happening in the market so they can plan ahead of time for testing for maybe a new release that's coming out down the road or a new technology? Do you have any updates on how someone can continuously stay updated to the changing market?
Yes. So in the index, I'm addressing this question through a market calendar, which I'm maintaining. There are some rules. People come to me often and say, okay, this mobile space is crazy. It's unpredictable. When I hear it, I automatically say, listen, it's crazy, but it's kind of predictable. Okay, why? You know that in specific month, every year, you have the same events. Okay, every February or March in every year in Barcelona, you'll have the Mobile World Congress. And in every event, every year for the last, I can't remember number of years, you'll have the Samsung new S6, S7 being launched. You'll have the LG G series being launched and so forth. Each September and October, you have the iOS major release with iPhone devices and iPads being released. Each October, you have the Android Next version being released. So you have some market events which are kind of predictable. Nothing changes them. You know, September 16, more or less, is the iOS 10 release. I know it today, 6 months before or 5 months before. I already have some heads up. I know that if I'm about to launch my mobile application, let's say 2 or 3 months from today, I might want to wait for June. June, it's just around the corner, you know. I'm going to see the iOS 10 beta, which is public, in just a few weeks, okay? And I can already start testing on this iOS beta and make sure that whenever I'm deploying my application, at least I have seen some snapshot of it, of how it works on the next generation of Apple. Same with Android N, Android Next release. We already have two different previews which Google have made available. You can already execute them on real devices. All the Google Nexus devices today are able to support the developer preview of the Android N, which is just launched in going to be launched in October. So to your question on how you can plan ahead or address these constant changes, constant noises in the market, one of the ways is to map these different calendar market events. Some of them are device launches, some of them are operating system, beta or GA launches, and make sure that your release cadence takes them into account. You might want to even delay a release which is just targeted the same month of the next iOS or Android, just to give yourself some, you know, few weeks of validation and sanity, so you're very much prepared to support the new GA rather than, you know, deploying something and then the new GA for iOS is out and you see that it's crashing or it's not supported, the pain is going to be much greater for you.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Great advice. Like you said, there are no events that happen seasonally almost, and that developers should be tied into that. Management should really encourage the developers and testers to really plug into the different conferences that are going on to be on top of the news in the mobile sector, I believe.
Definitely. Also from beta version. They don't need to wait for the GA. They need to get it already from beta version. Yeah.
Good point. You know, I know we've talked mainly about functional testing, but how does someone address performance testing in regards to mobile? Lots of times in the old days, I used to use LoadRunner, and we'd have like an emulator where we can emulate different bandwidths that we're running our test against and different network conditions. So how does someone test performance in this type of environment?
Oh, that's a very complicated, you know, task to achieve, but it's doable. There are many tools today which helps to assure client-side performance. As you mentioned, in the past, you know, when you were testing for web performance, you had tools like LoadRunner, which is still available today, StormRunner in today's new flavor. And, you know, you would simply mimic different transactions on different number of scaled users, virtual users, if you like. And you'll get your thresholds, you get your metrics and everything. For mobile, it's quite different. And why? Because these mobile clients are already coming with a very degraded set of capabilities, screen size, battery, different competing applications, which you cannot really control, and other things, and the network conditions themselves, which are also impacting the overall user experience. And then you have the server side, okay, which is also something which you need to monitor. So how you do it? The recommendation of how to do it is to take one device, okay, or two devices, let's say one iOS and one Android. Try to measure the timers, the user experience of a transaction. Let's take a login or a purchase end-to-end flow of something on a retail native application. You run through an automation process using tools such as, you know, BlazeMeter or Neotis or even LoadRunner, this transaction, you capture this transaction and the pickup file, the network capture file, and you have the timers, how much it take. Okay, you then replicate, because it was recorded on one real device or two real devices, there are tools today, also LoadRunner, which can replicate this one single execution on one device on, let's say, 100,000 devices. So once you're able to replicate one mobile device 100,000 times using this kind of tools, you get the user experience only through one mobile device, but you get it right. You get it how much it's going to take you to do a login in a real network environment while 100,000 other users are doing the same from their mobile devices. So it's doable. It's not easy, but you can do it today with, as I mentioned, with BlazeMeter and Perfector. You can do it with LoadRunner, HP, and some others. But again, the key is to try and record the first transaction from a real device, not an emulator. You want to record it on one real device, get the full end-to-end transaction, the timer, the time it took to complete this transaction, make sure that it's acceptable from one device before you're actually scaling it up. And if it's acceptable, let's say it takes 2 seconds and it's okay by you, then replicate it 100,000 times and see if it doesn't degrade the amount of time it took when the network is being loaded by more devices.
Cool. So I guess along those lines, I don't know if this is a myth, so I just like to get your input on it. I've heard that a lot of times when people are doing performance testing of a mobile app, they get confused with the usage of their web apps. So they may test functionality that may be very popular on their web apps, but not so much on their mobile apps. And where they go wrong is they have the wrong breakdown, the wrong scenario, where they're running tests on mobile app as if they were running against a web app, and that the users behave differently on both platforms.
I know that this is definitely a challenge and a risk which you can run into. I think that as long as you are recording your performance test from a mobile device where you have the user agent itself, you know that this was recorded on a Samsung device or on an iPhone device, and you manage it correctly within the load test framework, you should be safe. But again, I agree with you. There are a lot of practitioners out there which are being challenged by this scenario. So my recommendation to them is, you know, start small. Take one scenario on one mobile device, see that it works. It doesn't, you know, mix and confuses your other existing test scenarios from web or from other performance testing. Then scale it up and try to analyze it on an ongoing basis.
Great. So far we've talked about developing best practices for mobile testing. We've talked about functional testing and performance testing. There's one other piece I've been hearing more and more about, and that is actually alerting and monitoring once it's in production. Is that a trend you've been seeing also? I noticed you mentioned a few times that network congestion is different in one country to another and even from state to state. So I've seen more and more companies now not only functionally and performance testing something, but now being more proactive where they're actually monitoring these apps in the wild. Is that a trend you've been seeing more and more of?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And actually what I'm seeing in the market is divided into two different practices. One of them is the real user monitoring, and this is a real production monitoring. You actually inject an SDK, a library, as part of your APK or IPA, your native applications, which are out there in the App Store. Once the users are logged into the application, this SDK library starts reporting back to the dashboard, to the servers, to the NOC, whoever is monitoring in the organization, everything, okay? Which device is being used in which network, which user flows, okay? If it crashes, where it crashed, and everything. So you know everything live from production. And this is a very proactive approach to monitoring or to, you know, to quality. You get exactly the same time where the end user experienced a crash or a performance issue, an alert, and you can act upon it before it goes, you know, into the social networks and, you know, Delta is down or whatever application is down. We know about these kind of things. There is another approach which I'm also experiencing a lot, and this is the pre-production monitoring. It's still being done on production environments, but in a synthetic way, okay? This is the difference between real user monitoring and synthetic monitoring. Synthetic monitoring is almost the same, but it's done in a closed lab where you can control everything, okay? You mimic the production environment. once the application is ready, you set a set of very small number of devices. You don't need too many. You take two Androids, two iPhones, and so forth, and you continuously run 24/7 your test scenarios on the most important transactions, and you collect the data. And the data can be, you know, performance degradation. You put some thresholds. If they exceeded, you get an alert. If the application crashed, you get an alert, and you get it on an ongoing basis. Okay, so once it's in your lab, in opposed to an external monitoring, you can definitely get much more insights. Why? Because when you get the failure on devices which are, you know, under your control, you have the full access to the logs. You have the full access to the device itself. You know what happened. You know which scenario and everything, and you actually control what was actually running on the application, on the device, as part of your test execution. When you're doing it in a real user monitoring scenario in production by an end user, which you cannot even get in touch with, okay, it crashed, but you only know that your application crashed in a Vodafone UK network, you know, on a Samsung S5. Okay, you have the environment profile where it crashes, but you have no access to what drove this crash. You don't know which application were running in the background. You don't know the battery level. You don't know other supported debugging elements which can help you resolve and drill down into the issue. So these are the two approaches. I'm hearing more and more about two of them. I would say that there is no one which is better than the other. My recommendation is to actually combine both and do it both in the lab and also as part of the real user monitoring in production.
Okay, Aaron, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you would give someone trying to improve their mobile testing efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
Sure, Joe. So on top of the other pieces which you talked about, coverage and monitoring and non-functional, there is also, you know, the robustness of your test automation. At the end of the day, the test cycles are very limited in time. I'm hearing of cycles which needs to run 48 hours or, you know, sometimes even less. And to for these test scenarios or test execution cycles to be executed on an ongoing basis on every commit the developer is doing, you need to have robustness in your test automation. And one way of getting this robustness is to put more validations into the test automation scripts. So it's no doubt that using Object ID is the most important, either through XPath or other identifiers, is the best way today in mobile testing, either through Appium or other tools. But you want to make sure that you're also visually able to analyze the expected next screen before you are moving to the next test. Okay, if you put some prerequisites between the test scenarios and putting some validation points on a visual basis, you get two in one. You get one from one end, the ability to transition safely to the next test step. For example, after login, you want to make sure that your login was successful. You'll do a visual validation. If it didn't succeeded, you simply stop the execution and report back the defect to the engineers, to the developers. So you get two action items here. You get one, validation that your test passed, but also you're not breaking or wasting the time of your overall CI or test automation flow with both object IDs and visual through OCR or other visual techniques. So using both will definitely put robustness into your test execution and test scripts. So there are several things. I'm actively posting on Twitter using my credential. You can search for me through Aran Kinsbrunner. I have my own mobile testing blog called mobileappstesting.com, which you can find me. Simply search Google, Aran Kinsbrunner. You'll get, you know, most of my contact information. I'm active on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and on my blog.
Thank you, Aaron, for your mobile testing automation awesomeness. For links to everything in value that we covered in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/110. And while you're there, make sure to click on the Sign Up Now free button under the exclusive sponsor section to learn all about Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. And while you're there, if this show has helped you in any way, why not share it with a friend or coworker by sending them over to testtalks.com or sending them the links for the free Test Talks app for both iOS and Android devices. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.